from Sam Rachofsky here, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, another terrorist attack. We've been following this today. Akayed Ullah, a taxi driver, also some form of electrician or electrical engineer by day, immigrant from Bangladesh, Muslim, did not like the Christmas decorations up in a portion of the tunnel there in the New York City subway system. So, look, the narrative already here with this is developing. And there's really not anywhere, the other side, okay, the irrational, this has nothing to do with immigration, this has nothing to do with ideology, this has nothing to do with anything except our own grappling with social problems and the like. That side right now, I don't really know what they have to say on this. Well, I do. I'll play a clip for you here in a minute that I think you'll enjoy because it's about gun control. I mean, of course, this is a bomb that went off, sort of, and the issue is gun control. But this is very simple and very straightforward. You've got a guy who came here, who got the full benefit of the American dream, who was integrated. This isn't some guy who, as we were told so many times, you know, it's, you know, you got to integrate these people. They come here, these immigrants, you got to give them opportunities. You've got to give them economic hope. Otherwise, they're living in the shadows, developing a dislike for us and our culture, our oppression. No, this is a guy who had an education of some sort, had a job, two jobs, in fact, had a permit to drive a cab. This is a guy who was fully engaged New Yorker, except he doesn't like this country. And this is something that we'll follow as more information comes out. He's blabbing, by the way. They took him over to Bellevue Hospital. I'm sure he's under some pretty tight guard, but he's already blabbing, and he's telling him, he actually said it was he picked that particular location because of the Christmas decorations. And you tell me this isn't about religion or about culture. This is a conflict perpetrated against our Western civilization. This is why, by the way, in Europe, in years past, you've had these Christmas market attacks. They're a target because of what the symbol represents. So we will follow this. Ah, Bill Bratton. You'll remember him. He's former NYC commissioner. And so he's on MSNBC today talking about this with Stephanie Ruhle and Brett Stevens. Here's where the conversation led. This is fascinating.
The sad reality in our country also is we're sitting here talking right now. No loss of life here this morning. Tremendous disruption. But someplace in America today, some nut with a gun is going to go out and kill three or four people. Every day we have a mass shooting in this country. So while we need to focus a lot of attention on terrorism because it attracts so much attention, at the same time we're a country that's losing tens of thousands of citizens every year to gun violence. And we don't seem to be able to get control of that than the way we've gotten control over the terrorism issue.
This is such a good point.
I suspect that someone, you can guess, is going to want to turn this into an immigration story. And this is not a story about lax immigration rules.
Whenever does that someone's name rhyme with shmump?
Maybe.
This is not a story about immigration. Really? This is baffling to me. You've got a guy from a country that has terror ties, where radical Islam is pervasive, and perhaps, just maybe, if he weren't here, he wouldn't have perpetrated this. So that's the, you know, and by the way, the gun issue is fascinating to me, too, because in my opinion, I mean, you look at New York City and you look at their various gun laws. I mean, New York City and New York State, respectively, is one of the most restrictive places when it comes to guns. and gun shooting deaths through the roof. Same with Chicago. So this is an effort. All this is, it's smoke and mirrors. They don't want to talk about it. They do not want to address the issue of Islam. They do not want this. This is coming up at a very inopportune time. Right now, what the Democrats need, they need a lot of white Southern terrorists coming out and doing bad stuff, because they want to turn away the discussion right there. Right now, immigration is a big issue. It's in the background. Remember I told you about the budget? The budget right now is up, you know, there's an extension that's on the table. Part of what they want to get through is DACA, deferred action for the children of illegal immigrants. And the Democrats do not want a conversation right now about Trump's extreme vetting, about immigration controls, about border protection. They don't want to get anywhere near it with the 10-foot pole. And so you will hear, as this story is being discussed in the mainstream media, you will hear efforts like this to deflect. And you saw Bill Bratton. It's almost sad to have him doing the bidding of the mainstream media and their effort here to obfuscate the issue. You hear what who is it? Arula says, "Oh, that's such a good point, Commissioner Bratton. That is such a good point. Thanks for. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about guns." When guns literally have nothing to do with this issue. Now, as this terror attack is literally playing out, the first bit of news comes out. CNN is engaged in, serious journalism, right? The most trusted name in news, is engaged in a high-level expose on Donald Trump's soda habit. Now, I don't know if you heard about this today. If you missed it, this is pure comedic gold. I don't know if they were actually trying to be funny with this. But CNN today ran a story about Donald Trump drinking 12 cans of Diet Coke every day. Now, the humorous part for me here is I think I found somebody who drinks more Diet Coke than my wife. Now, admittedly, 12 cans of Diet Coke, that's a lot of Diet Coke. I don't know. I'm not a soda drinker. I'll tell you this right now. I'm not. I don't touch the stuff. I have my own bad habits. Soda is not one of them. And I especially hate Diet Coke. But today, it's Diet Coke Gate. And so, CNN, with its usual fervor, went full head into excoriating Trump over this. And have a listen here. Let me tell you, this is Allison Camerota talking on CNN New Day. This is 40 minutes after the terror attack struck, talking about Trump and soda.
This is about his Diet Coke habit. Let me read it to you. Watching cable, he shares thoughts with anyone in the room, even the household staff he summons via a button for lunch or for one of the dozen Diet Cokes he consumes each day. If you add this, Michael, to what Corey Lewandowski, I mean, his campaign manager, has a new book out about some of these very things. Corey's book is called Let Trump Be Trump. Here's what he writes in that. On Trump Force One, there were four major food groups: McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, pizza, and Diet Coke.
Okay. Now, I am an astute observer of left-wing stupidity. So let me tell you exactly what happened here with this, because CNN, in its zealous pursuit to destroy Trump and all things Trump, convinced themselves that this is a great story to pursue, right? They're giving it key time. Whenever there's a big news story like a terror attack, that's, by the way, what brings eyeballs to cable news. During the day, people don't just... Okay, cable news is on during the day for breaking news. So this is valuable real estate. When CNN has some kind of programming going on during a major event like this, it's valuable. Those are valuable seconds. Them dedicating time to this means it's really important to them. But it always backfires on them. And the way it backfires here, in my opinion, is how this thing ends. That on Trump Force One, they're referring to, you know, Trump's big private jet that he would fly around with during the campaign, the one with the big T on it. There were four major food groups: McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, pizza, and Diet Coke. Now, here's the problem with that. Ha, 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 we're elitists, New York City, kale salad eating, you know, pressed juice drinking dummies, making fun of basically everybody in America. You know, when you get outside of the, maybe the, I don't know, the Santa Monica bubble, the Manhattan bubble, the Soho bubble, whatever, wherever you are, when you get out of your little, you know, health-obsessed, you know, vegan diets and crazy, I don't even know what people do here. I try to keep away from it as much as possible. But you understand that most normal Americans eat pizza and drink Diet Coke? Do you know how many housewives you're offending right now with this, including probably my own? Right? This is insane. And it's all in, they're so convinced, you can hear in, they're so convinced that this is the right way to go. But they're losing people on this. Trust me on this, they're losing people. So anyway, the irony only got better. Friends, this is where it just gets absolutely fantastic. So they have this really odd looking doctor on, who's some, you know, diet expert. And he, by the way, looks very unhealthy. Be suspicious of any dietitian who doesn't look healthy. Okay, so this guy, I'm not going to make fun of his weight, but he was a little pudgy. And he's on, and his name, is this the guy, the Michael D'Antonio? Is that him? So anyway, he then chimes in here with Allison Camerota and says this about Trump.
I think people who have been around the president for any real period of time know that he's a television addict. He's probably watching us right now because, as the Times reported, he tunes to CNN when there's breaking news. CNN is the strongest network in hard news. And so as much as he might berate the network at other moments, he tunes in when he needs the facts.
Amazing, right? So here we've got the network during a terror attack that is just broke 40 minutes previous, within the hour, talking about Trump's Diet Coke habit, and their own guest has the audacity or stupidity, whatever you want to call it, to go on air and talk about how great CNN is and how terrific they are with handling hard news when they're covering a total nonsense BS story that has nothing to do with literally the number one breaking event of the day. This, my friends, is exactly what is, this is a great synopsis of what's happening with the mainstream media and why people, by the way, don't trust the media. And that's another part. You've heard all the criticisms. And you've heard that there's an exchange. I'll play it next segment here of Jim Acosta from CNN going after Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her going after him over fake news. Because now there have been all these stories that have been, you know, they've come out about Trump, and it's the ultimate smoking gun, and we've played it here on the program. And then what happens is a day or two later, a week later, a month later, we find out the story is totally false. For example, here with these diet soda cans, maybe it's not 12 cans of diet soda. Maybe it's three, but they don't care. And so the question is, at what point is it a whoopsie daisy mistake, or is it part of an agenda to really derail the president? And if you're a defender, if you don't like Trump, of course, you're saying, well, the journalists are pursuing this zealously because that's what journalists do. And you know what? In the fog of war, you're not always going to get everything right. If you get it 90% right, I mean, that's a great percentage, right? But my problem with it is that the mistake never benefits Trump. It seems to be that whenever there's a mistake, it's one that is detrimental to him. And retractions, I don't even want to hear about retractions. There's a great statistic here that in that one story about Donald Trump Jr. about the WikiLeaks connections, the retraction got 1/30th of the play. So the original story gets played 30 times more than the retraction. What do people remember? They don't remember the retraction. They remember the original story. So here what we're going to do, we're going to keep them accountable. And that's our role here, I think, among others. Yeah, you got to hear this Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She goes after him. This woman is tough, tough as nails. And they don't like it, by the way. They don't like it one bit. She's supposed to be nice. I don't think so. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, making radio great again from our undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. The phone number, if you'd like to be on the program, 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. You know, I guess part of the story, the purpose, I would say, of the story, as best as I can tell, of CNN reporting that Trump drinks 12 Diet Cokes a day, is that it's not good for him. And you know, but Sam, of course, we all have a vested interest in our chief executive being healthy. We want his body is a temple. And besides, you know, I mean, it is what it is. So now, I have a question for you. Wasn't Obama a chain smoker? Do you remember this? I mean, not since the press hid FDR's polio did they do such a good job at totally hiding. I mean, smoking, I'll call it a disability. I mean, it really is. I know Obama wanted to quit and tried many times. He just failed at it. It's like the one thing he wasn't good at. You know, that and being a good president. Anyway, so, no, but they're talking about 12 Diet Cokes a day. Meanwhile, you know, Obama was smoking, I don't know how many packs. It's an example of the media. They will take anything they can and buy. And I think ultimately it will backfire on them. Because it stops being real journalism, and it ends up being this cabal of anti-Trump hatred. All right, so as part of this, I promised I'd play the exchange here of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and she's the press secretary at the White House, with Jim Acosta, Brian Karem. And there's also another guy here in the clip who we weren't able to identify. Listen to this exchange. This all has to do with the number of high-profile retractions that CNN and other members of the news media have had to make in their basically fake reporting on Donald Trump.
I would just say, Sarah, that journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news. But the question that
but
I
when
have...
journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes. And a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposefully misleading the American people, something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say... You cannot say that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false, or when you're taking information that hasn't been validated, that hasn't been offered any credibility, and that has been continually denied by a number of people, including people with direct knowledge of an instance.
Yeah, this is, I understand where CNN's coming from. So if I go to a store, if I've got my local bodega, I live in New York City, I enjoy kale salads, I don't drink Diet Coke, and I don't touch McDonald's. But I do go to my corner bodega, and the store clerk there, every time I go, he shorts me money. Now, is that just an honest mistake? Because in my view, a store clerk who's just, you know, kind of bad counting money sometimes puts me in the positive and sometimes in the negative. You know, up, down, it all kind of washes out in the end. But that's not what's going on here. And by the way, any of these bozos, if they went to a coffee shop somewhere or a store or whatnot, and every time got shorted by the clerk, I don't think they'd like it. Eventually, they would call the store clerk a thief. And that is what is happening right now. For the first time, they've got a conservative calling them out on it. They're not used to getting called out on it. They're not used to have the finger pointed at them. They're the ones with all the power, and they've been accustomed by years of practice that Republicans roll over, play dead, play this little game, apologize, and make nice, and kiss the bottoms of the media, and not here. And so I think, for one, think that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing a phenomenal job. Now, she's getting attacked. Some of these attacks are great. I'm going to cover it. It's good stuff, and they're getting increasingly personal, which I also think is going to backfire. Also, the Roy Moore race. This is huge. Tomorrow's the election. Tomorrow night, we'll know the results. And I've got some thoughts on it. Polls up and down. So let me get into that, too, later this hour. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour. You know, I want to this race in Alabama. It's national news simply because who would have ever thunk that the state of Alabama might go, one of the Senate seats in the state of Alabama might go to a Democrat. Doug Jones, the Democrat down there, campaigning fast and furious. And this, of course, him running against Roy Moore, who has had a number of high-profile allegations come out against him. Some of them rubbish, some of them may be true. At any rate, one of the critical mistakes that, in my opinion, that Doug Jones has made in the last few days, have you seen all of these superstar Democrats that are down in Alabama campaigning for him? Well, yeah, he's got Cory Booker from New Jersey. He had Obama, Joe Biden did some robocalls. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I don't think that that sells in Alabama. See, if Democrats wanted to win Republican votes, they ought to talk to a Republican. They ought to talk to me. Or listen to the program. Here's the advice I would give in this case. As soon as it was happening, I thought, this is not good. Because my advice would be, I think Jones could have won this. Now, the election's tomorrow. He may win it. But he could have won this far and away. Because Roy Moore is a bit of a nut. And there's reports of him leaving the campaign trail, and because he's just an odd guy. May not be the most dedicated campaigner. And then, of course, you've got all these allegations that I don't necessarily think he responded to in the right way. Assuming he's right and he's done none of the things he's accused of, still, the response to them was mediocre at best. So, with all of this going on, Doug Jones could have been far and away had this thing in the bag by now. But you've got to campaign as a conservative Democrat. You can win as a conservative Democrat in places where Republicans are favored heavily. And I know this because I understand, for example, the state of Utah. My wife is from there. I have a brother-in-law who is a successful mayor of Salt Lake County, a Democrat, elected Democrat, again, in an area. Salt Lake City's fairly Democratic now, but the county leans Republican. And I know how you do it. And the way you do it is you absolutely, number one, divorce yourself from national Democrats. The first thing that my brother-in-law did is he didn't have Obama come down and campaign for him. Now, you don't do that. You don't have Massachusetts liberals and New Jersey liberals come down, no matter how good looking they are, come down and campaign for you in Alabama, because the good people of Alabama don't give a rat's rear end about Cory Booker. In fact, they're deeply distrustful of the way things are done up north. I mean, hell's bells, these are people that fly Confederate flags. I don't know what to tell you, but Northerners are not particularly popular down there. Not to mention, you know, liberals. Yeah, Jones should have said, I am an independent Democrat. I am a conservative Democrat. I don't agree with what has happened in this country in the last 8 years. I am a different type of person. I don't think, and I, he should have campaigned against Nancy Pelosi and not with her. Now, Pelosi didn't actually go down there, you get my point. Terrible miscalculation. So now you've seen the polls, right? They're up, they're down. There's one poll, I think on Friday we talked about it, it's like 6 points. Roy Moore up by 6 points. And then almost as soon as that one hit the presses, there was another one that had Doug Jones up by 10. So I want to tell you what that means when we come back, because there's a lot of stock being put in this plus 10 poll. And then people think Doug Jones is going to win it tomorrow on that basis. And I don't necessarily think that's true. So let me tell you why. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Berjofsky here. I'll tell you, now that you're out on the roads during the holidays, how much crazier is it? Honestly, how much crazier is it? People are doing all sorts of crazy stuff out there. I think I actually saw somebody wrapping a present in the car, driving. This is the kind of lunacy out there, and this is why you need attorney Sweet James Bergner. Let him be your elf on the shelf this Christmas season. He'll watch over you, tell you if your kids have been naughty or nice. No, just kidding. He won't do that. He's not going to be a creepy elf in your house. No, instead, he's going to be the lawyer in your corner fighting for you, for your rights, and for your recovery. Don't be a victim twice by being in an accident, getting hurt, and then letting the insurance company, quote unquote, take care of you. All right, don't do that. You're going to call Sweet James. He'll take care of you. No recovery, no fee. $400 million and rising recovered for his clients. This is the guy you want. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, I actually talking to James today. Can I just tell you something about him? Let me tell you something about James. So, it's the small victories that matter. You know, you hear a lot about lawyers. They'll fight these big, crazy, you know, big multi-million dollar cases, and he's handled cases like that for sure. But there's a case today where a client, there's a $5,000 offer on the table. The insurance company gave $5,000, and their reason for it was that they thought the client was half responsible for the accident. Now, I've worked at other firms. I've been in personal injury since 1999. I know how some people operate. And a lot of times when you get a tiny little offer like that, it's the amount of effort and energy that it takes to raise that offer. It's just not worth it. People make that calculation. So anyway, on this particular case, the team that was working on it, they just fought all the way. They fought to get the raise to 100% liability. And just by doing that, of course, when it goes from 50 to 100, what happens? The offer doubles, right? So, you know, to James, to the firm, it's a drop in the bucket, right? But the 5,000 to the 10,000, that's huge money for an actual client, right? I mean, if that's your money and it's Christmas is coming up, it's a big difference. Anyway, just a detail. You know, he's a good guy. All right. Speaking of numbers, speaking of numbers that matter and don't matter, your settlement matters, but what doesn't matter necessarily are polls. We learned that back in November of 2016. Polls should have been used for toilet paper and nothing more. And that is why, in this case, Roy Moore versus Doug Jones down in Alabama, you can't place any stock in them. I was watching Neil Cavuto earlier, and the pollster Frank Luntz, who is the ugliest man on cable news. I'm sorry. You know my story with him. Anyway, for another time. But anyway, Frank was talking, and he had this to say. Listen to his breakdown, because I think it's really spot on.
I've told people don't pay attention to them because you really don't know what's going to happen. At a 20, let's say that you're right, that there's a 20% turnout. Who turns out determines who wins. I don't see the same kind of excitement in the African-American community, which will be somewhere between 95 and 97% for Doug Jones. I do see tremendous excitement with conservatives trying to state a message in favor of Moore and against the Democrats and the elitists in Washington, D.C. That said, I can't call it, and I've never been afraid to call an election up to this point. Wow. Because I don't know the makeup of that actual electorate tomorrow.
That's part of the reason why polls are not reliable, because polls take a cross section of who you poll. But how do you know if those are the people that show up to vote? That's part of what happened. And in fact, you know, I think it's bad news for Doug Jones to have a poll on the eve of the election come out that has him 10 points ahead, because invariably the person who is leading in the polls, there's a bit of voter suppression that happens. You know, his voters won't be as motivated to go out if they think that he's got it in the bag. But let me get to the meat of this when we come back, because you want me to make a prediction? Frank Luntz won't make a prediction. Should I? All right, I'll do it when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Predictions for the Alabama race that everybody is watching. For one, there have been all these accusations that have come out against the Republican candidate, Roy Moore. So everybody is keenly interested to see if they have any effect. Also, this is a Republican state. This is a Senate seat that should never have gone, and all the math that is done on the makeup of the Senate in coming election cycles, there's never been any concern that this seat would fall into the Democratic column, but there's a risk of it now. And so with how important the Senate is in advancing the president's agenda, people are interested in this. Now, I think that these allegations against Moore are probably the most important factor or the most decisive factor in people underreporting their support for him. In other words, do you really want to go on the record with a pollster, let alone a friend, or anybody that you're talking to, that you support Roy Moore, when you're going to get called, you know, an accessory to a child rapist? And people don't want that. But that doesn't mean that they won't vote for him. In fact, and part of what you heard in the clip that I played from Frank Luntz on Fox, what he's explaining is people in Alabama are very excited about Trump. So they may not be that excited at all about Roy Moore, but they sure as heck don't want to see Trump's agenda fail. This is a state where Trump, I mean, just steamrolled it. I mean, Trump stole Alabama. That may end up being the most critical issue in the race. And I think that people are not telling pollsters, they don't even want to talk. They're not necessarily excited about Moore. But I think Frank Luntz is right in the sense that they're very excited about what the president is doing. And they see Trump as somebody who's taking the fight to the mainstream media, that's taking the fight to Northern liberals, Massachusetts Democrats, and the like. And Jones is the candidate who's there campaigning with the very people that this base despises. I think that's hugely motivating. So if I have to give any kind of prediction, I think Roy Moore wins it tomorrow, not necessarily by a big margin, but I think that everybody's going to be surprised. And one of the reasons, that's just an observation. You've seen the news stories about all these Democrats, prominent Democrats, saying if the Democrats lose, they actually win the race because it's going to be so good, because the Republican Party, it's not going to be the Republican Party anymore. It's going to be the Roy Republican Party. Have you seen these headlines? This is nonsense. And it's already kind of it's already defeatist talk. I'm trying to spin a loss. I think it's nonsense. A loss is a loss. They want the seat. Democrats would love nothing more than to pick the seat up. They may, but probably not. Anyway, all right. When we come back, we got a whole nother hour left to go, and that's good. Did you see this boy that was bullied and his mother recorded a video? I think, well, I'll play a clip of it. And then there's, I have a take on it that really, I guarantee you haven't heard anywhere. And then the other thing is, we've still some of this fake news stuff. I want to get to what's happening to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It's fascinating to me. It really is. Because if you just reverse the roles here, if Sarah Huckabee Sanders were working for Barack Obama, and the type of things said about her were being said about her in those circumstances, all hell would break loose if these were conservatives making these type of slurs. Fascinating stuff. All right, we got the news up next with John Wolfe, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
Radio 790 KABC.
Hi, welcome back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Live, Talk Radio 790 KABC, 8:04 PM Monday evening. 1-800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, there's this video that has gone viral of a mother. I would describe it as an interview, as a mother interviewing her child. Now, the child, I had to kind of dig for this, but the child is an 11-year-old boy. And there's references to him being in middle school, which I believe he's in the sixth grade. I guess that's middle school in some places. And at any rate, so he's by all accounts, a sixth grader. All this is important setup because if you've got kids, you know, every grade, they're a little bit different and there's different issues going on. And for me personally, middle school is particularly, is an important fact here, because when we're talking about bullying, I don't know of any worse place than middle school. I don't know what middle school is like for you. I went to a 2-year middle school in Irvine. We have, K through 6, and then that's elementary, and then middle school is 7 and 8, and then high school 4 years. Good. Terrible with math. I'm making sure I'm adding all that up right. So at any rate, I hated middle school. Let me just say, middle school for me absolutely sucked. And that's because, kids are, this is just the worst time in life because kids are hormonal. They're figuring out who they are. Their bodies are changing. This high pressure element of girls, boys, you know, and who do you like and don't like, all that stuff suddenly is a bigger issue than it was. Than it is certainly in elementary school. So for all of those reasons and the fact that I wore some pretty funky clothes, I got teased. I don't know, bullied. I didn't get bullied like this kid is claiming. Well, here, listen, here's a snippet just to give you an idea of how emotional his plea is. This is Keaton Jones being interviewed by his mother, Kimberly Jones, in a video that she posted on her Facebook page.
Just out of curiosity, why do they bully? What's the point of it? Why do you find joy in taking innocent people and finding a way to be mean to them? It's not okay.
What do they say to you?
They make fun of my nose. They call me ugly. They say I have no friends.
What'd they do to you at lunch?
Put milk on me and put ham down my clothes.
Is it just you? Or is it other kids too that feel that way?
Say it's other kids too.
How's that make you feel?
Not okay.
I feel for him. I feel for him. Now, okay, here's the predictable response. The predictable response is what all the celebrities that have jumped on board with this are saying. I mean, you know, hashtag never again, you know, stop bullying, you know, the typical do good, feel good thing to say here is that bullying is bad. It's something that must be eradicated. We must create a society where there's no bullying, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that's realistic. No, I think our what do I mean by this? Okay, let me tell you. So I had this issue. My son, he's 10 and in the fourth grade. Thank goodness he's not in middle school yet, because he's not ready for it. I can tell you that right now. And nobody is, no boy is ready for middle school. Anyway, so, but he's not ready for it. Definitely not. But Daniel is a great kid. He is the best son I could ever ask for. Now, he is emotional, and he lets things get to him that he shouldn't. Now, he's not having kids pour milk on him and put ham in his pants or whatever is going on to this poor guy. But he gets teased, and I've shared some of those stories with you. Now, I, being the A-money-money hole that I am, and not your typical parent. And Daniel was having some problems with a boy who is a great kid, who has great parents, who is not a bad person, but this boy was saying mean things to Daniel, very mean things. And my advice to Daniel, now, I don't know, you can call me and tell me I'm an idiot, but my advice to Daniel was to say mean things back to the kid. To fight back. Because I don't think I can sit Daniel down and say, son, that's terrible. He shouldn't say that. And you deserve to live in a world where mean people don't exist. See what I'm saying? That I mean, by saying never again and all these hashtags and social activism to stop bullying, you're telling kids they deserve to live in a world that is safe. That is one giant fluffy cotton ball. And the reality is that's not the world. I mean, there's terrorists out there that want to kill us. I mean, to liberals, of course, it is a giant, big, fluffy, you know, cotton ball where everything is just, you know, fairies and elves and candy and life is great. Kumbaya. But it's not like that. And I always think about at what point does the child realize that there is conflict out there, that there are absolutely wretched people, because bullies are wretched people. But do you know something about bullies? You know this, right? You've learned this because you went to school and you know, and maybe you had a bully you. And maybe that was back in the day when you were, you know, you weren't, your whole college career wouldn't be over if you punched a kid, right? That's another part of this. But why do bullies bully? They bully because, and I explained this to my son in great detail, they bully because they feel crappy about themselves. It's a self-esteem issue. To answer this kid's question, why do they do it? Because it makes them feel better and they're messed up in the head. Now, this mom, I don't know if I like putting up a video of your child's torment. I get that it's starting a conversation about bullying, but I also think that this video is going to be seen by all of his peer group, who see this kid in a hot slobbering mess of tears. What did I tell Daniel with that kid? Is that what you're going to ask me? What was the advice I gave? Oh, I actually gave him insults to lob back at the kid. No, I cannot tell you what they were, because they were bad. They were so bad that when I was telling them to Daniel, my poor Sherry, she just shook her head and walked out of the room. No. But you know what happened? I think he used them. And do you know the result was the kid gave up, and they're friends now, because that's how things work with kids. You're mortal enemies one minute, and then the next minute things work. You know, you sort things out. And we are a country obsessed with social causes which to take up. That is part of the problem here with the Me Too thing. I mean, we're just so obsessed with our causes. And we want to do good. And that is why all of these celebrities came out. Mark Ruffalo. Yeah, he's a big, big Democrat guy. Demi Lovato, Katy Perry, Hollywood, right? Justin Bieber, even. Justin Bieber is one of the biggest bullies out there. The kid's a total... we live here in Southern California. You've heard about his antics, right? What he does. Justin Bieber. Anyway, so he's come out. Also, LeBron James came out. Dr. Phil. Chris Evans. All supporting Keaton Jones. And then this story took a crazy twist. You want to hear what that is? yeah. They looked at the mom's Facebook. And her Facebook, well, she's a proud Southern woman from Tennessee. So naturally, there are pictures of her with the American flag, the Confederate flag, and various other religious symbols. And you know what they're calling her now? This is where I just love this. Liberalism is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Eventually, they're calling her a racist. And they go, wait a minute. We can't be supporting this kid because his mom's a racist. And you know why they're calling her a racist? By the way, this is funny, too. I have it here in my stuff. Oh, because of a post that she put up. And this is a post that had to do with the kneeling controversy. You know the kneelers? The NFL take a knee protest. Let me see. I can read this. I don't think there's any language here. Okay. So this is Kimberly Jones. Back in August, dear butthurt Americans, if you aren't bleeding, no bones are sticking out, and you can breathe, stop crying. For the love, now, I don't know what this means. I really don't. I don't speak Southern. You guys are going to have to help me. I don't know if this code word, is this a racist code word here? Some folks clearly never picked a switch. What does that mean? Oh, yeah, so they never got beaten. Like, they never got disciplined. I got it. Okay. Thank goodness I got Robbie here. He's my translator. Okay, and before y'all start talking to me about metaphorical, emotional, financial, or historical blood and brokenness, don't join a group. And then it had a picture of I stand for the flag and take a knee for the cross. And then the article here in the Daily Mail says, yeah, this is clearly directed at African Americans. I don't see it. I don't get it. So I went through some other stuff here. Now they don't like her, because maybe the part of this video is missing. Maybe that this woman actually is giving her child some good advice at the end of the day. Shouldn't have taken the video, in my opinion, and posted it. But maybe she's actually pretty reasonable and not the kind of person that is the ideal victim. Remember part, liberalism always needs good victims. And in order to be the perfect victim for the left to use to advance one of their causes, you have to be extra vulnerable. And also, you need to play the political correctness game. I mean, you can't be a victim and at the same time wrap yourself up in Confederate symbols or with a cross, gosh forbid. I mean, that's the end of everything. If you've got Christ on your side, you know, and General Lee, I mean, that's it. You're out. And I don't know. What advice would I give the kid? Do you know what I would do? And I feel for him. Did you hear him? I had a bad lisp as a kid. It still comes out here when I get really excited. So I sympathize with this kid. I get it. I would enroll him in a martial arts class. Toot sweet. This kid needs judo. This kid needs, whatever. Karate. He needs that type of discipline. And, knowing that you can level somebody that's twice your size, right? The whole idea of judo and jiu-jitsu especially is that you can tackle, take out an opponent that is bigger than you. Just knowing that changes how you interact with people. Trust me on this. It's very important. If my kid ever started getting physically bullied in school, I'd turn him into a black belt something. And you know what? If a bully came out and poured milk on my son and tried to stuff ham in his pants, whatever the hell that means, I don't know. Is that metaphorical? But anyway, and I found out that my son got suspended after he knocked the kid out. Totally okay with it. 100% totally okay with it. And if you can't handle that, you're not an American. Okay? Dead serious. That we're creating a land of that is fictional for people. And we want to do that in elementary school, in junior high, in middle school. Then they go off to college and we create safe spaces. And Title IX, of course, that's another Democratic Party favorite, right? Everything is safe. Everything has to be consensual and signed off on. And then eventually somewhere, someplace, people hit the real world. And then what? No, I want our children. I want our future, right? This is our future. I want these kids to sort these things out and learn how to have these interactions early on, as early as possible. This frightens me, actually, how we're coddling our youth. Anyway, you may all disagree. Oh, fine. Disagree with me. But trust me, I am right. I'm right on this. Okay, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, raising wimpy kids is not a good idea. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. The bully video that's making the rounds. The mother that posted it on her Facebook page, her name is Kimberly Jones. Now, there's a guy named Tariq Nasheed. No idea. He's an activist. Okay, there you go. He's an activist. Ooh, he could be a future president. With such a loaded resume. Getting off topic. Anyway, so he found her Facebook page, I guess. I don't understand exactly if she posted the video. Maybe she didn't post the video on her Facebook page. Because her Facebook page, they didn't immediately find it. So I guess maybe the video was posted somewhere else. That part of the story is not clear. At any rate, people were not immediately finding her Facebook page. And this guy, this Tariq Nasheed activist, exposed her on Twitter. And here's what he wrote. That viral video of Keaton Jones talking about being bullied is heartbreaking. and I feel sympathetic towards that child. But his mom, Kimberly, on the other hand, is a suspected racist who makes very problematic posts bullying black protesters. I read the post that he described. Now, right, remember what I'm telling you. You got to remember, liberals love victims. Now they're in a catch-22. They got a great victim. This kid's a victim. But wait, his mom is a suspected racist who bullies black protesters. Now, why does she bully black protesters, you ask? It's that post. Here, where did I have it? Ugh. It's in my... Too many pages. It's that post about the take a knee. She writes, "You're not bleeding. No bones are sticking out. You can breathe. Stop crying. For the love, some folks clearly never picked a switch. And before you all started talking to me about metaphorical, emotional, financial, or historical blood and brokenness, don't. Join a group." And this is it. You've got a kid crying on a video about getting milk poured on him, getting beat up, getting ham stuffed in his pants, or whatever else these horrible kids are doing to him. And then you have an adult, a literal, I assume, okay, this Tariq Nasheed guy is an adult, actually calling words of some lady on Facebook saying, "Hey, you guys, all you take a knee protesters, get over yourselves, get a grip, like life isn't really that unfair," calling that bullying. Kimberly, on the other hand, is a suspected racist who makes very problematic posts bullying black protesters. That is the fluffy, safe space world that liberals dream of, where you cannot even call people out on their stupidity for fear of it being bullying. Well, if that's the case, my gosh, this whole program is one giant bully show, isn't it? And yeah, by the way, this story came out today that the CNN is calling Trump a bully. He's a bully. And you know why he's a bully? Because he's calling out CNN for being a bunch of lying sad sack journalists, quote unquote. See, this is kind of how you have to separate real sexual assault from not just plain, you know, boorish behavior, men being men, which should still be allowed, because most, I'm telling you, any honest woman you actually talk to wants men to show interest in them. If they like men, women that like men want men who show interest in them. Okay? Okay. No, honestly, some of you need to talk to a woman. And the same is true with bullying. There's real bullying, and then there's this fake pretend stuff that, and it dilutes the real problem. It's just like the Me Too thing. It's exactly it. And there's a Politico piece, by the way. Politico just did it, thinking that maybe Me Too is headed for a backlash. You think? So anyway, these are interesting times, and all of these issues, while they appear separate, while these news stories kind of have their own separate place, they're all connected, because behind it is the same ideology that's creating this type of stuff. And that's what we're fighting here, day by day, hour by hour. Sam Nation. All right. Sam Rojofsky here, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We've got the news up next with John Wolf, and we'll be back right after that.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Oh, gotta love Charles Barkley coming out supporting Doug Jones in Alabama. Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Wolf played that clip of Barkley coming out swinging. Now, I have an idea. If I were Roy Moore and I was in this tight race, a couple of things. One, I would come up with a new slogan. It has to be simple. I mean, you know, you can't do Make America Great Again, because that's been taken. You don't want to be too much of a copycat. but you want to put something out there that really encapsulates your brand, at the same time defends you against all the accusations that are out there, and really kind of frames the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party all in one simple phrase. And as I put my thinking cap on and pondered what that phrase might be, it came to me as just as suddenly like a flash of lightning would, prophetical way. Here it is. No one drowned in my car. That simple. Listen, all of these Democrats crying about how Roy Moore is unfit to be in the Senate, you losers, voted in Ted Kennedy I don't know how many times. He was literally the elder statesman of the Democratic Party when I was coming of age politically. And this is a guy who murdered a chick and got away with it. He literally had Mary Jo Kopechne drown in his car. He's drunk as a skunk, goes off a bridge. You know the story. The hypocrisy with these people runs so deep. It's unbelievable. And Ted, I know he's dead now, but you can speak ill of the dead in politics. This is, everybody knows that. So it's too late now. The race is all but over. But I will observe one thing. I think Roy Moore is a very undisciplined candidate. And I see in him, I know he, look, let's just assume that all these charges against him are patently false. I'm going to assume they're false until they're proven to me in a court of law or somehow that they're legit, if he admits it, right? And he hasn't admitted to it. But what I don't like about him is that he's just not campaigning seriously. So when you hear, again, in the news, I think they played the other senator from the good state of Alabama, Shelby, talking about how, well, when it was one and another, and then, well, the drip, 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 when the final allegation came out, I mean, that was it. Then I can't vote for him anymore. By the way, what a dangerous precedent, right? All you have to do is, if you've got enough allegations, never mind if they're true, but if there's enough allegations, well, that's it. You're done. No, we can't live in that kind of country. But what I can go by what I see. With Trump, yeah, there's a lot of stuff said about it. You know what I saw in him was a tremendously focused candidate. I mean, the guy was out there. Do you remember the final stages of the campaign? You remember how much campaigning he did? I mean, he was doing three or four states a day. Well, it was a Diet Coke. Exactly, Robbie. You're right. You know, Obama was busy playing Cool Hand Luke and chain smoke in the back of Air Force One, and Trump was, you know, Trump was chugging Diet Coke and staying caffeinated. Right. But that's my point is he was a disciplined candidate and it shows. Okay. I know. The myth out there is that Trump is lazy, that he watches TV all day, that he, you know, just rants at random people in the White House. Okay. You keep thinking that and you're going to wake up 7 years from now and you're going to be shocked at the fact that Trump has remade this country while you are too busy, you know, thinking that he's a dumb idiot. Okay. All right. Oh, I have a great vignette I want to share with you. And I call it a vignette because you know how right now the big story is that the media has gotten so many stories wrong. And then there's these vitriolic assaults on Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I'm going to get to it here. I am. And I've got a little vignette that encapsulates or captures really the bias that the mainstream media has for the Trumpster. Well, he's shifting positions by one particular journalist at the Washington Post. You're going to like this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. I'll be back right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here for my friend, Sweet James Bergner. Hey, so the holidays are here. Christmas is coming. People are frantic. They're doing crazy stuff. For example, they're going to Christmas parties. They're drinking. They're drinking a lot. And they might even be driving after all this. You shouldn't do that, but people do. So The roads are especially crazy this time of year. If anything happens, you know who to call. Make sure you've got the right lawyer in your corner. James and his crew, they have collected, one, and otherwise settled and obtained $400 million and rising for their clients. And they've done it by a lot of hard work, by tenacity, and by being fearless and dedicated champions of justice. Give James a call. Talk to him or someone here there on his staff, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. I tell you all the time that the media has it out for Trump. They've got an agenda. Let me give you a great actual example of this. So there is a writer. Her name is Jennifer Rubin. She writes for the Washington Compost. This is the newspaper owned by Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. All right. July 29th, 2012, Jennifer Rubin writes an opinion piece on Romney. The title of the piece is Romney, You Bet Jerusalem is the Capital. And it says basically Romney's position. And then it says this is her words. Of course, Jerusalem is the capital. It was declared so in 1948. The Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament, is there. The disposition of its borders is a matter for final status negotiation, but only an uninformed or virulently insensitive administration would be unable to distinguish the two. All right, that's her back in 2012. June 1st of this year, same lady, Jennifer Rubin. This is just one MSN reporter, okay? This is like, I got you, but trust me, follow me on this. The title of the piece, Except on Russia, Trump never keeps his word. The White House announced, no real surprise to veteran Israel watchers, that it is delaying its move of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Okay. December 11th, after Trump declares that Jerusalem is going to be recognized by the United States as the capital and that we will move our embassy there, Jennifer Rubin writes, Trump's Jerusalem decision is a foreign policy move without purpose. Contrary to passionate advocates on both sides who paint President Trump recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital as either a masterstroke or a catastrophe, blah, blah, blah. Here's my point. It is all about Trump and how much they hate him. They have lost. They, being the mainstream media, have lost all objectivity. You've got to, when you read their stuff, when you watch their news, you've got to just run it through this filter and understand it's Trump hatred. They've got Trump derangement syndrome. Great example of that here with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Now, you know, she's the press secretary at the White House. You know who Chelsea Handler is, right? And Chelsea Handler had a show on Netflix. Lost it because she went from being sort of funny and taking drugs and asking dumb questions to suddenly being like 24/7 nonstop politics, which people didn't want to listen to. But Twitter yesterday just totally turned on Chelsea Handler because you know what? She went after Sarah Huckabee Sanders for her looks. She retweeted a video by Emily Fortune Feimster, who is pretending to be Sarah Huckabee Sanders, putting on makeup. And the whole thing is just, it's basically making fun of Sarah Huckabee for being fat and wearing a lot of makeup. Can you imagine if a conservative comedian made fun of somebody in the Obama administration for her looks? It would be front page news. And I think that's what just bothers me here to no end. There is an absolute double standard. The media thinks that they're the victims. They're crying about being bullied. And meanwhile, they're letting things like this happen with really not even a word of protest. Disappointing. Honestly, disappointing. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KVC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Oh, this killed me. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Four women came out with allegations of sexual impropriety against Donald Trump. And then immediately after that, Senator Gillibrand, Kirsten Gillibrand from New York on CNN called for Trump to resign. Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that. No chance. Okay, can I tell you just a little clip? Why am I laughing? I'm not laughing at sexual assault. I'm laughing at these stupid allegations. First of all, these women went on Megyn Kelly, whose show is Struggle City, right? She's literally the most overpaid person in television currently. And that's saying something because people are paid ungodly sums of money on TV. So Megyn Kelly's show is struggling. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but back during the election, you know, her and Trump had kind of a thing, and I don't think they like each other. So she's got an axe to grind. But do you remember, these women have all been, this is nothing new. These are all women that have come out before during the election. One of them, this, I just love this. Let me see, what's her name? Her name is Holvey. Oh my goodness. Samantha Holvey. Okay. Now, who is she? She is the beauty pageant Miss America contest participant. Former Miss South Carolina, I believe. And she is the one who says that Trump went backstage and interviewed the contestants when they were indecent, I guess, you know, and that he treated her, quote unquote, like a piece of meat. Does anybody at all, I'm asking, does anybody at all enjoy the irony of a beauty pageant contestant complaining that the beauty pageant owner slash organizer slash judge is treating her like a piece of meat? No? It's a beauty pageant, for Pete's sake. What do you think this is? A spelling bee? This is about boobs. Like, this is what contests are. You think it's all one based on statements? Is that what you're saying, Robbie? I would like world peace. And I would also like to cure hunger. Right? I'm not. Okay, there's some smart ones out there. But it's a looks contest. There's a bikini part of the thing. It's dumb. Okay? Like, that's what this is. I'm telling you, this is not a serious allegation at all. Not at all. And if Megyn Kelly had any shred of journalistic credibility, she would call her out on it. But she doesn't. And the other woman said that she had some run-in with Trump on a plane where he tried to kiss her. I'm looking at the woman. I don't know. Trump might have been drinking. But he doesn't drink. It was probably the Diet Coke. All the bubbles went to his head. I don't know. Yeah, I think he's always had a private jet for forever. I don't know what he was doing on a commercial flight. But man, it could be. Whatever. I don't know. This is just nothing. So if you hear the story out there of Trump, you know, new allegations against him, they're all old. They've all been out there. It's all the same old stuff. So anyway, tomorrow I'm going to be back. Don't panic. There's going to be a game. I think there's a game on. Right tomorrow. So we're going to be on right after the game, and it should end early. So we might be here right at 7 or just a few minutes after. So if you tune in and hear hockey, go Kings go, don't panic. I'm here. I'm going to be in the studios. I'm going to be ready to do my thing. All right. So see you tomorrow night. Great to be here as always. I've missed you. I miss you over the weekends. It's true. All right. See you tomorrow night. We'll be right back.